You're listening to the Luis Palau Legacy Library. May your heart be moved, as Luis's was, to proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth. Here's Luis Palau.
I've entitled this week myself, The Deep Things of God. I was reading in 1 Corinthians 2, and the Apostle Paul says that the Holy Spirit knows all about God because He is God, and that He teaches us the deep things of God. So I wanted to talk about three and maybe four if time allows, although I wish I could have done more. The book, the blood, the blessed hope, and the body of Christ, all with the letter B. The book, meaning the Bible, the blood, the cross of Christ, the blessed hope, the return of Jesus, the body of Christ, the church. I really want to see if I can squeeze it in. You pray for me. I'm not very good at squeezing in. I'm very good at squeezing out. Prolonging the messages, but we don't want it to be just another series of Bible studies. We would love by the end of the week that we all go home fired up in a special way, with a fresh anointing, with a fresh view of God our Father, of Jesus Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who indwells us. You say to yourself, okay, what is this something more? How do I know what God wants to do that's more? Forgiveness of sins is great, but it's only the first step into the kingdom of God and the church of Christ. What about the next 30 years or 50 years? In my case, 70 years, for goodness sakes. Forgiveness of sins is glorious and we never forget it. Communion in our church every Sunday, you always remember, my sins are forgiven, hallelujah. But there's more. And so where do you get what's more? You get it from the Word of God, the Bible. So I want to open up our segment at night with the concept of the book. The Word of God. And what is it that God wants to do with us? So, how many of you are retired? Could you raise your hands if you're not too tired? Real high. I want to see the percentage. Yeah. Okay, less than I thought. Good for you. We got some non-retirees who are hoping someday they will be. I saw the other day in a paper in Arizona, the other day was 6 months ago, the title is, A Curious Retiree is a Happy Retiree. I thought that was interesting. I'm not retired. I should be, but I'm not. A curious retiree is a happy retiree. And I thought, you know, there's always more of God that we can know. And a curious retiree and a non-retiree, even more so, is a happy retiree. Because then your mind doesn't go blank and you can begin to think deep things about God, we who know Jesus Christ. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to encourage you to get into the Word, and we're going to read quite a bit of passages from the Bible. John Wesley, when he was thinking about the Word of God and the book, wrote something in one of his sermons that has been quoted many times. Let me read it to you before we read the Bible so you get the background to what I want to say to you. He described himself as a man of one book, although Wesley wrote, translated about 200 books. So he was a man of one book who wrote a lot of books. But he said this, I am a spirit come from God and returning to God, just hovering over the great gulf. Till a few moments hence, I am no more seen. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. And here he comes. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it here. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book. And then he goes on to explain how he studied the Bible and how he prepared his Bible teaching and his sermons. And God used John Wesley. He started at age 16 going to the University of Oxford with his brother Charles and another friend that he made at Oxford called George Whitfield. And those three, with a bunch of people who surrounded them, but they were the leaders at Oxford University. And they took stuff really seriously, spiritually. And they were called the Holy Club. And people made fun of him, as they do whenever you want to be a holy person. But they took it. They served the poor, they preached the gospel, and England was saved from a revolution worse than the French Revolution by these young fellows who started at age 16 and 17 at Oxford University, taking the word of God seriously. And they became very intelligent, obviously, very gifted, but very much men of one book. And so let's read several passages in this one book to be able to get the background of what I'd like to say and lead you into thinking biblically this week. One of my thoughts about the blessed hope, which is the return of Jesus Christ, is that we could have talked a little bit about God and the nations. And I may refer to it. I'm studying it myself with all the bombings going on in Europe, in the USA, the killings, the murder, the violence. It seems to be exploding suddenly again. We thought we were a little more civilized than this. And yet now here we go again. And in the Middle East, people being butchered, boys and girls in weddings and at a memorial service and a burial service, people running in and blithely killing people left and right, violating women, Christian women and women of other religious backgrounds. What's happening? Where is the Lord? And it's a worthy study, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to share all the principles. But I'll pass some on to you to get you thinking that I think it's a vital question. How does God operate? But first, let's read several passages. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to read quite a few, and if you mind, tough on you. I'm going to do it anyway, all right? Because I think the Word of God is important that we read it. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it talks about the Word of God, because that's really the subject. It's the Word of God that we want to talk about. And tonight, it'll just be the first section. Tomorrow, we must go on. Because I would like to see men in particular. There are quite a few middle-aged guys around here. I feel the local church needs men, obviously women too. But women tend to be more active than men, who are strong in the Word of God, who understand it, who take it seriously, and who are a blessing in your church. So that's one of my dreams of the results of something new that the Lord wants to do. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 5. And I'll read carefully and trust the Holy Spirit to apply it. Here we go. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Chapter 8, across the page in my Bible, chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Now let's go to Joshua 1, and let's just read verses 7, 8, and 9. Okay, Joshua 1, 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isn't that great? It's not over yet. Okay, go to Psalm 119. That's the long one, you know. Did you know that St. Augustine memorized Psalm 119? No wonder he had such a brain. Or maybe he had the brain and that's why he could memorize it. But it's 179 verses or something. Yeah, but let's read only verse 97 to 104. This is David now exploding with excitement about the Word of God, which is what we would like to end this week with, an excitement, something fresh from the Lord. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders even, because I obey your precepts. I have kept my foot from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. I mean, that's the heart of David. He loved the word of God. And the three big points he made there, I don't know if you noticed. The first one is, he says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies. Why? Because they're always with me, his commands. So he's wiser than his enemies. Then he goes further and he says, I have more insight than all my teachers. Wow, how come? Because I meditate on your statutes. That's why. And then the third one, more understanding even than the elders. Why? Because I obey your precepts. And for young people, this is a wonderful passage. You know, there's a great famous verse that God used in my life when I was a kid of 17, where it says, remember your creator, Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, of which you say, I have no contentment in them. And you know, we need to encourage kids to start young. I'm so glad that the missionaries who came to Argentina got us young guys when we were boys and girls. They taught us the Bible like we could understand it. And you know what? We could. That's the amazing thing. I'll get into that today or tomorrow sometime. And one more reading. I know it's a lot of them. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I have a friend, and he has a real burden that we believers in America in particular, but all over the world, that we need to read more of the Bible and not so much listen to little stories about some movie we saw on Friday night. I mean, let's listen to the Word of God, for goodness sakes. And he's really sold on that. And he has a Bible study group with his wife and a bunch of neighbor guys. And basically, they don't do study. They just read the Bible, pray, and go home. And he does that with his staff. And he's a very successful investment guy. And he gathers his staff, some of whom are not Christians. And then he has another group. And that's what they do. They sit, either read the Bible or turn on their iPhone or iPad or something and have the Bible reading. Read it, pray, and go home. And he feels, and I'm sold by it too, that we need more of the Word of God. That's why I'm reading quite a bit. Now, that leaves me with only about 20 minutes to explain it, but then it's much better to hear the voice of God than the voice of Louis Palooey, don't you think? I mean, I do believe that. So, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. It's a famous one, but it's a famous one for good reason. Here we go, verse 12. The Apostle Paul, his last letter, written to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says in verse 12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is the word of the Lord. And now we're going to meditate on some of these passages, and I trust that we'll be able to do it. The book is one way that God has chosen to reveal himself. God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth and you and me, Jeremiah 1:5 says, famous little verse, "Before I made you, in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I separated you. I gave you a message to the nations." Our Creator, our God, chose to reveal himself to us human beings in various ways. And the solid way that he chose to reveal himself, so that through the centuries, in fact now, through thousands of years, we would have a solid basis on which to evaluate truth and to be able to see truth as he has revealed it in a book, so that it's a document that nobody can change. People have tried through the years to change it, but the Word of God is still the Word of God. Now, God has revealed himself. He's a self-revealing God. And he's done it in at least six ways that I've been able to detect, and you probably also. First, he did it in person when, becoming a man in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, he revealed the character of God. Through Jesus Christ, we know the character of God, his perfection, his holiness, his love, his humility, his patience. We'll look about that a little bit tomorrow. But his self-revelation in the person of Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 is the famous passage, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, revealing God the Father. The second way that he revealed himself, of course, is in writing. I've already said it, but I reaffirm it. The Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, 100% trustworthy, no mistakes, no errors, perfect batting average. The Word of God has no errors, and you can trust it 100%. And we must take it to heart. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's a mystery, one of the deep things of God, how God not only achieved what he wanted to do and what he wanted written in the Word, and yet he used men and women to write the Scripture. And so it's a combination of God working through godly men and women, prophets, apostles, and ordinary believers who, filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit, wrote as they were moved by the Lord. You remember we read a few seconds ago, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. The Greek word, not that I know Greek, but I read around it, is theopneustos. And it means God breathing through. God didn't dictate the Bible. He didn't say to Paul, now Paul, tell Timothy this. Okay, erase that one. Tell him this, you know. It wasn't a dictation, but it was God breathing in and through. And in 2 Peter 1, it says that the authors wrote, the apostles and the prophets, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it was written by men and women, but under the complete authority of the Holy Spirit. Not the control, so that the purposes of God were achieved without manipulating the freedom of the individual writer. That is glorious. And that's exactly what the incarnation of Jesus Christ was the same. He was God, and yet he became man. How? By the Holy Spirit. How? By the Blessed Virgin Mary. How did that? There's a measure of mystery in that, naturally. And in heaven, we'll understand it 100%. And then thirdly, God has revealed himself in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. When you look at the beach right now, I mean, we can't go much further. You look at the green trees, the blue sky, the sun shining, the water that looks like silver. And you say, it just can't get better than this. Heaven will be better. But this side of heaven, there ain't many places like this one to see the glory of God in creation declared. What a God we have. When you look at the flowers that these gardeners and volunteers do around here, the colors, the amazing creation of God, you say, what a God we have, you know? How creative. What fun God must have had, the Trinity, when they created some of the animals. I often go into this, and I don't want to waste your time, but it is intriguing. Imagine God inventing the rhino. I mean, they look ugly and massive, and I wouldn't want to meet them on a dark corner at night, you know? What a funny thing. And then you look at the camel and you say, what fun the Lord said, hey, let's put a big hump on this thing, you know? And so he can carry a bunch of water through the desert. And then I've been to the Palau Island. You know, there's a republic called the Republic of Palau. I'm the only guy who's been there who's got that name. And there's about 420 different forms of fish and little sizes and the colors. I'm not much for going underwater and so on. You know, I'm not a snorkeler. I'm just chicken. But anyway, I did it over there, and it's astonishing. The colors of all the fish. You say, what a creative God we have. What an artist. To be able to even create all these colors and all these little fish and big fish is really amazing. God reveals himself in creation. And we don't see it all, but we see his artistic side, his fun side, his creative power. There's a lot to be seen in creation. Number four, God has revealed himself through the prophets. God spoke with authority and with anointing and a word from God through the years, through the ages, through the prophets. And boy, he expected them to be obeyed. And when they disobeyed the prophets, the Lord came down hard on the people of God in those days. I spoke to you through the prophets. And then Jesus says to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed the prophets that I sent to you. Then also God speaks through dreams and visions. In the Bible, you see it all the time. God spoke, of course, to Adam and Eve directly. And then he spoke to various ones in dreams and visions. And today, the Lord still does that. When we do not go or cannot go to an area where the gospel hasn't been preached, God intervenes directly among the Muslims, you know. I'm sure heard the stories, but it's guaranteed. I got to confirm, Kevin and I have met people in the Middle East who knew nothing about the Bible, and all they knew about Jesus was what little is mentioned seven times in the Holy Quran. But Jesus appears to them at night. And all the ones I've talked to, almost without exception, in fact, I can't remember of any exception, the Lord appears dressed in white in a beautiful garden with music in the background that is sweet, and the Lord speaks to them in different ways. I remember one that Kevin and I met in Egypt. And she was the daughter of the Supreme Court Justice of this country. Very, very Muslim. And him very involved in occultism, which go together. Maybe you didn't know, but they do. And one day she had a vision. And Jesus came to her in the middle of the night and said, I am Jesus. And you've heard about me in the Quran, but there's more to know about me. And I will be revealing it to you. And she just became all excited, absolutely accepted it. And she began to believe in Jesus. And the Lord appeared to her. She began to teach her sons and other young people that come to the house. I mean, she had memorized the Holy Quran anyway. And one day she's at the airport in her country. And an American walked up and said to her, would you like a copy of the Bible? And she said, yes. Because the Lord had told her, somebody's going to approach you and offer you a copy of the Bible. She took it, and then the guy said, would you like a film, the Jesus film? And she said, yes. So she took the Jesus film, and then the guy disappeared. Nobody saw him again. But she looked at the movie, she read the Bible, and she won many people to Jesus. And she's famous, or was then. I don't know if she's still alive. I haven't stayed in touch. But anyway, God does appear, and he does it even today. And then lastly, though, I'll mention this. In Psalm 19, it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my King and my Redeemer. The words of our mouth. God speaks to other people through us, not hotshots or well-known people, just ordinary people like you and I. If we speak the truth of God, God uses us to reveal his truth to other people. And the Lord will speak through you if you just quote the Bible, tell your testimony, let the Holy Spirit use you. And I want to encourage you that in these days we do that. Spend less time getting worked up about politics. And these come and go every 4 years, for Pete's sake. And you get all worked up, and it always seems to go the other way. You can waste so much energy and so much money. And things go on, and they go up and down and coming and going. And once there's a Democrat, here we go. People need to know God. That's what they need. And you know, he can use you and your mouth to do it. Yes, sometimes it gets you into trouble, but hey, we expect that. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but cheer up, the Lord says. I have overcome the world. And you know, the world needs to hear the word of God. And he uses you and me to reveal himself through us into other people's souls and lives. So that's very exciting. Now, the word of God is such a powerful, powerful thing. I can't do it in a day or two, but I'll do my very best. Let me tell you some of the passages that most of you know, but I want to remind you on what the Word of God says about itself. It is God-breathed, that's the first thing, but it has impact at every aspect of our lives. Some of you know my dad died when I was 10 years old. And so I was a boy in the family, five sisters, and then one little brother that came later. And people would say to me when I was 14 and 15, "You're the man of the house." Me, a skinny brat, I'm not the man of the house. But I began to take it seriously. I had to work to help my mom, and I wanted to be a lawyer. I never made it because I had to go work. So I began to think, man, how do you become the man of the house? And you're a kid, you go to church, but the elders are frightful people. Not like me, but those were. I didn't dare ask them about stuff. I wanted to know about, you know, what, and but love and marriage, and who do I talk to? And I just didn't know who to. And I remembered when I was about 16 that my dad had said to me one day when I was a six-year-old boy, my dad would be on his knees in his office connected to the house, his house office, and he'd be on his knees, and I'd sometimes see him on his knees with a Bible in front of him, reading it and praying. And he was a businessman, but he also testified, and the Lord used him a lot. He died at age 34, but he achieved so much. And I remember I said to him, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm reading the Word of God." And I said, "Where are you reading?" And he said, "I'm reading the book of Proverbs." And then he said to me, "When you grow up," and I'm glad he did. He didn't know he was going to die so young. It happened just like that. 9 days and he was gone. But he said to me, "Read the book of Proverbs and you'll be a man, you'll be successful, and life will be great for you." I was only six, but I never forgot it. And at 16, I thought, I got to take it. So I began to read the Word of God. And you know, I'm an old guy now, and you know, it all turned out to be true. And my dad pushed the Gospel of John and the book of Proverbs. And I found out years later that the missionary who led my folks to Christ and who helped us all in our family come to know the Lord, he, Mr. Rogers, always pushed the Gospel of John and the book of Proverbs. I've done that on radio and TV a million times, I'll tell you. And people still write and say, "Man, you said about the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, I read it every day." And you know, the promises of God are amazing. Let's look at some of them. First of all, the Lord Jesus himself said in John 17, I'm going to have to quote it because if we start reading it, you know, it'll be late. So in John 17, the Lord Jesus said, "Father," you remember he was praying on the night he was betrayed, just before Judas came, he prayed in the garden and he said, "Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth." Father, I mean, the Father knew it. To me, John 17 is one of those beautiful chapters, and John, the whole gospel, but the upper room discourse plus John 17, where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit address each other, speak about each other, and to see the respect that the three persons of the Trinity show to each other, and the humility that each one expresses to the other, and the honor that they all give to each other. "The Father who sent me is above them all." And then Jesus said on one occasion, "Father, glorify my name with the same glory that I had before you I came into the world." And the voice of God, the Father, breaks down and says, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." It's very touching when you think about the deep things of God, that we don't fully understand it, but we need to get into it and not say, "Oh, well, we'll get it in heaven." Hey, we got a brain and we got a spirit and a soul. God wants us to think these thoughts. God the Son glorifying the Father glorifying the Son, and the two of them saying, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of whatsoever I've told you." I mean, the Trinity interacting, thinking of you, thinking of me, but what a glory to see it. So the Word of God is the truth. And brothers and sisters, there are some passages that are not easy to understand because we're talking about eternal things, but it is the truth. And you can trust it 100%. And especially guys, men of all ages, most of you are young guys. I mean, you're younger than my own sons. I just want to encourage you to absolutely trust the Word of God and don't waste too much time with those who deny it. In fact, don't waste any time. It's a waste of time. It's good to know the mind of God. You know, the Word of God reveals the thoughts of God. It's like talking to God, or rather God speaking to you. God in his book, and he took the trouble to add about 1,200 pages written for you and for me. It was J.I. Packer. I've quoted him before, but hey, some good things can be repeated. J.I. Packer said one day, "I have never yet seen the face of my Lord Jesus Christ, but he has written me a letter." I love that. Because the Bible is not just a book, it's a letter from God Almighty. And when you approach it that way, it makes all the difference in the world. And if you've got the outrageous guts to come at it with doubts and so on, put it aside. Come at it and say, "Oh God, my Creator, now that you're a believer, my Father, you have taken the trouble to write me a letter. I want to read between the lines even." You know, when you're in love and you're young, and I got letters from my wife. She didn't write too many lovey letters, but once in a while, she'll say something like, "I love you." And, oh man, I was trying to figure out what she meant. I guess she meant she loved me, that's all, you know. But you read the letter and you say, "What did she mean? What was she thinking?" You know, and so on. But when you know that this is a love letter from the Lord and it's the truth, man, it makes all the difference in the world. I suggest that when you can, and if you're not too old so that you can't get up and you got to call on your alarm thing, get on your knees and spread the Bible on a bed, maybe, with a notebook next to it. Put a pillow under your knees, for goodness sakes. And say, "Lord, by being on my knees, I'm reminding myself that I revere you, that you're my Father, you're my Creator, and you took the trouble to write this to me. I want to hear your voice, Lord." And the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writers and oversaw the composition of his word, lives within you. So the author lives within you. He will explain. He'll make it plain to you. You know, one of the great things that, among many points that I won't make, I wanted to make, is that all believers, having the Holy Spirit, can understand the word of God in ways that the unbeliever cannot understand it, because their minds are darkened and they don't have the Holy Spirit. But I have seen humble believers in the mountains of Bolivia, or in the mountains of Peru, or in Nepal, but mostly in Latin America because I hang out there more. And to have little old ladies who can't read and write, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they listen to the word of God read over the radio or by the pastor or somebody, and they have insights into the Lord and into truth and into doctrine, being illiterate, but their knowledge and their walk with God is amazing. I mean, I've had the privilege of a little education here and there, but I remember when I was a teenager, I go to church early on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which we used to have night meetings in our church, and I go straight to the church before dinner or anything. And there's usually was two or three little old ladies and one or two old guys who came early because they had nothing else to do, so they came to the chapel and I would purposely sit with them and ask them questions. And I learned so much from these old folks, some of whom were illiterate, but they walk with God. And the Bible says, "You have the anointing of the Holy One, and he teaches you all things." So you don't have to be a theologian to know Greek and Hebrew. Thank God we've got super translations. Just let God speak to you and be open to his letter to you. And you guys in particular, men, you lead your wife and children. Be a man of God. A man of God is not a reverend so-and-so or pastor so-and-so. They should be. But a man of God is any man who walks with God and who is filled with the Holy Spirit and who takes God's Holy Word. The Word is truth. You can trust it 100%, and the Word of God is perfect. In fact, there's a verse in Psalms that says, "The Word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul," or reviving the soul, both, converting and reviving. And there's another verse that says, "The word of the Lord is," I love this one, "flawless." The word of the Lord is flawless. So get on your knees and let God speak to you by the Holy Spirit. It is truth and it is flawless. If there seems to be a contradiction, it's either your problem or somebody who planted a stupid idea in your head. But there's no contradiction in the Word of God. It is flawless. Therefore, enjoy it and find the answer. Number two, and I got 20. I said flawless, so there goes. Number two is flawless. The Word of God is also bread or food. That's why we read that one passage in the Old Testament that Jesus himself repeated in the New Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is bread, baby. It is the best food that the world has ever seen. It is steaks and potato and salad and French bread with butter, real butter, not phony. I mean, it is the best food. It's bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That phrase alone, you could spend a half hour on. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's not just another book. This is the Word of God. And every word comes from the mouth of God. The third thing, or the fourth, or whatever, is the Word of God is a light. Psalm 119, somewhere, find it for yourself, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my way. I thought about that, you know, I mean, been at it for 70 years. You think about it. A lamp to my feet. I think that's immediate. Yeah, a lamp for my feet right now. When you get old, you got to watch every step going downstairs. You need a lamp, man. And if you don't, you turn on your iPhone to get a light on it so you can see it. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I think that's long range. The Holy Spirit guides you. And the lamp illuminates your immediate activity. The light is for your way, for the longer range. So the Word of God is a light. And you know, the world doesn't know it. And the one thing that eventually distinguishes a man or a woman, excuse me for using men, you women, you know it's for you too, but the men, they need to be told, they don't get it. And it's a lamp. And then the other thing is, not only is it a light, but also it goes on to say, life, life. Look, I've got to read to you a verse that is outstanding. It's in Deuteronomy. Let me read it to you. It's 32:47. Listen to this. It's a direct reading from the NIV here, but take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. Listen, this is the law. These are not idle words for you. They are your very life. The English Standard Version puts it down. I like that. They are your very life. These are not idle words for you. For the unbeliever, sure, what do they care? You know, they're in darkness. Huh? But he says, they are not just idle words for you. They are your very life. So if we neglect the Word of God, gentlemen, ladies too, but gentlemen, if we neglect the Word of God, we could begin to deviate and not realize it. They are your very life. Spiritual life, but it affects soulish life and it affects physical life. It affects political life and social life too. But then he says, by them you will live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You know, the Bible promises that when we are faithful to his word and really trust it and obey it, he has a set of blessings to pour out upon us. And many people get antsy about that. I don't. I love it. Since I didn't have a dad, God became my father. And I had to depend on the Word of God. There was nobody else. I didn't dare talk to the guys in the church. Nobody volunteered. Till I was 23, a missionary, Keith Benson. We loved him so much and we called one of our twin boys Keith in his honor. Finally, he came to talk to me one day about you know what, that I wanted to know all sorts of things. But by then, I picked it up from here. I learned it from the Word of God. But life, the words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said it. He said that in, in John 6:63. He says, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So it isn't just idle words, blah, blah, blah. No, this is living and it produces life. So take time And one of the things that we do need in our generation, because we're so busy, the phone thing, I mean, you know, it absorbs you. And all the news, you know, I'm a nut on news. I got to constantly follow the Holy Spirit. Don't read The Guardian and New York Times, much less that one. And, you know, The Oregonian and The Wall Street Journal and Barron's Man. I'm nuts on information. I can never get enough of it. And again, the Lord says, put it aside, Luis. And I do it. So we are bombarded with words and ideas. And I was reading in Ecclesiastes just the last week in my reading, Bible reading, from the iPad U version or whatever it's called. It's Ecclesiastes that it says, of the making of books, there is no end. Yeah. I mean, in our house, there's thousands of books. They come and go. And I think we need to set them aside and listen to the words. And then the word of God is the truth and sets us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And you know, a believer, a man, a real Christian man, a woman too, we can be free because we know what freedom is from the Word of God. Freedom is to live within God's plan. Ray Stedman used to define when it says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. He said, what is the truth? The truth is things as they really are. The truth is things as they really are. And God has revealed us what things really are. And you know, today where we hear people, they will say, I don't need God to tell me what to do. I'm a free man and I can do whatever you want. Funny stuff, you know. People surrender to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And other courts down the line, not even the Supreme one. Remember, God is the Supreme of the Supremes, okay? And they say, I wrote down, you can't smoke. Okay, I can't smoke. Who said it? Supreme Court or some other sub-Supreme Court. But everybody says, you can't smoke, so don't smoke. But people succumb to that. Or you can kill babies in your womb if you want to. Who said so? The Supreme Court of the USA. What does God say? But we submit to human, but people say, I don't want to submit to God, that you're supreme to the policeman. He says, hey, buddy, you didn't signal at the corner. Come and see the judge. He wants to have a little time with you. And just bring a check for $160, that's all. But you can have fun talking to him and explaining why you didn't signal when you turned to the right at the last light. And you say, yeah, okay. And then you go and say, please, judge, I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I'm a preacher. I don't make mistakes like this. It was a mistake. The guy stopped me the other day for talking on the phone. And I knew I shouldn't have done it. I was calling Kevin to tell him I was late. So, I was late at a meeting. So he comes up to me, light, and I'm a saint, you know. And I'm sort of well-known in Beaverton, Oregon. And so here comes a cop. I thought, I hope nobody else is watching, you know. And he says to me, you are speaking on the phone. Don't deny it. I watch. I said, I'm not denying it. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed of myself. I know better. He says, you have a Bluetooth? I said, I wish. So now I do. And but I was too late. He said, your driver's license, your mother's birth certificate, whatever. And so I gave him all the stuff. He goes, grabs the phone, and oh, Lord, yeah. He comes back and says, okay, we really appreciate what you do for the community. Just don't do it again. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't know if he was a believer or somebody at the other end said, this guy's a nice guy, which I am. And but, you know, the funny thing is, you tremble like a little boy when the cop comes with his little red light. You know, did I run over a little old lady and didn't notice, you know? And but the truth sets you free. And that's why we take it. Well, I got more to share, but the time is up. I hope at least we tiptoed on the edge of what it is. The word of the Lord reveals the character of God. We'll pick it up tomorrow night, God willing. The purpose of God, the ways of God, the government of God. It's all there. And you know, curious retirees are happy retirees. Curious non-retirees are also happy non-retirees. So the word of the Lord is a wonderful thing. And it's the truth of God. And there's so much more. It's the Bill's faith. It's a treasure. It stands forever. It's words taught by the Holy Spirit. They are my counselors. They make me wise. They equip me thoroughly. They are a shield that protects. It is, oh, man, I can go. We will go on and on tomorrow night, God willing. Well, let's bow before the Lord in prayer and commit the evening to the Lord. And I hope it gets you going, especially you men. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much, I do, that you are my Father. Thank you, Lord, for the missionaries who came to Argentina. They weren't famous. Most of them nobody ever heard of. But they brought us you, Lord Jesus. They brought us your holy word. They taught us the truth, even when we were boys and girls. And I thank you, Lord, that even now, after all these years, you're still my Father and you're our Father. You're still my God and you're our God. Father, thank you that your word never changes, that it is perfect. It is flawless. It converts the soul. It revives the soul. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that this meditation now, you will continue to work in our spirits, especially the guys, O Lord, and work in our spirits and in our minds, everything that you want to do in us and through us for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Andrew Palau, and I am so glad that you were able to listen to one of Dad's messages today. I love it. We miss him every single day, you can imagine. But the beautiful thing is this, the work that Dad did for God's kingdom has not ended. Of course, we continue to spread the good news all around the world. In fact, we're reaching more people with the hope of Jesus Christ than ever before, day after day. But there's still so many, many people out there who don't yet know him. So the harvest is plentiful. We see that every single day. And we would love your partnership and support and help. And if you'd like to support Palau on this mission, sharing the gospel with every person on the planet, that's our goal. Visit us at luispalau.org and you'll see how you can do that. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.